Welcome to Sunday with Kevin Clark. I am Kevin Clark, joined on a 2 weeks away from NFL, or 3 weeks. I don't know. We're 9 days away from college football. Notre Dame's opening the season in Ireland. Is that on your radar, Lindsey Jones?
It's going to be... Did they open last year, or that was just Northwestern?
Against Nebraska. And
that was an abomination of a football game.
From what Bruce Feldman reported, Scott Frost enjoyed Ireland.
Well, he didn't enjoy much else about the football season.
From what I understand, he did not enjoy team meetings, but did enjoy the tourism aspect of Dublin. So hopefully nobody has a similar experience this year in week zero. But we're close to real football. We've got a lot of fake football going around right now with preseason, and we got a lot of training camp. We're just going to blow through some of the storylines because that's what this is this time of year. Just nuggets on top of nuggets on top of nuggets. Let's start here. Hard knocks.
That's also my
parents.
That's also how I parent. Chicken nuggets on top of chicken nuggets on top of chicken nuggets.
Let's start here. Do you like Hard Knocks?
No, I do not.
Great. No, it's okay. It's okay. We're not really in an industry where anybody expands in anything. So I'm glad you kept that tight.
Actually, I was having some pretty long conversations about the state of Hard Knocks with some of our coworkers earlier this morning. And it's largely become irrelevant. Like, the Hard Knocks relevancy, like in this current media environment, is like, it's just really low now because all the buzzy clips they put out on social media. So like you can see the important parts on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok, whatever, without actually having to tune into HBO at 11 o'clock or whenever it is it airs.
Yep.
And all the news is already out there. So like, and if they're not going to actually give us a ton of like actual relevant behind the scenes information, it's not appointment television for me. Like I'll peruse the, you know, the social media clips. I'll watch it because it's kind of part of my job. But like the days of Hard Knocks being the most important like media of the preseason that passed a long time ago. But it's to a point now where like you're not missing anything if you don't watch it.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Real quick, I just saw a headline that Rob Gronkowski says Brian Daboll was the coach with the best chance of getting him to unretire. What the hell is going on? Why is Brian Daboll specific? First of all, they have Darren Waller. Like, I don't know if they need to add in a tight end. But then second of all, what is he talking about? If you're going to unretire for Brian Daboll, why wouldn't you unretire for like 10 other places? I don't, you know what? Let's put that aside. Hard Knocks to me changed forever. It didn't get worse. When they didn't get anything on Antonio Brown a few years ago. That's the story of training camp, the story of a year in the NFL. Everybody tunes in to figure out what's going on with Antonio Brown and the Raiders. Hard Knocks cameras were there. Didn't get a whole lot. We've had that a couple of times. We have had extra access. A good example is, no one remembers this probably, Chad Johnson got in. Maybe he got arrested, maybe got investigated, something like that, while he was with the Dolphins. Joe Philbin cut him, and Hard Knocks cameras were there. That was an interesting kind of insight. Was that 2012, 2013, something like that? That was kind of the last time the news of the week or whatever was captured by Hard Knocks cameras. That's gone away largely over the past couple of years. The pivot they've made towards interesting insights and showing the game in a different way and not doing that kind of, I guess you'd call it football voyeurism, where you're, the Jets, for instance, are not showing cuts anymore, that kind of stuff that was established in the beginning, that they're not going to give them the access they normally get. But I do think it serves a purpose. And the reason we're even talking about this is because last night, Robert Sala, it was revealed, ripped the offensive line a new one. And the offense, generally. But obviously, I don't think anybody's that mad at Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and all of these fellas. Injured Breece Hall. It's the offensive line. That's who we're talking about. The quote here is, offense, it was our first fucking opportunity to change the stink that's been in this organization for a very long time on the offensive side of the ball. Hall of Fame quarterback, two $10 million plus receivers, and you have the reigning offensive rookie of the year. You can have all the kind of skill in the running back room. None of it fucking matters until the big boys change who the fuck we are. We as coaches, we as an organization can't want it more than you. Pretty good stuff. I got to say, it's a little bit, you know, Rex Ryan did the let's go get a goddamn snack thing a couple of years ago. This is pretty good from Robert Sala. Does it mean anything, Lindsey Jones?
I mean, it's far more honest than we've like heard him be in any of his like official media statements. I mean, I think, you know, they water way down the concerns, like, but I don't think anybody's like surprised that like, oh, the Jets offensive line isn't very good. Right. I mean, that's like kind of the one thing that. The one question that's been raised about like something that could lower the ceiling of that offense and could be a concern is that they weren't really able to fix their biggest weakness other than quarterback last year. You know, they tried really hard in the draft. They weren't able to. A lot of questions with Mekhi Becton and the, you know, age at their other tackle positions. So I don't think it's entirely surprising that like, oh yeah, this group is underperforming and like really needs a fire lit under their asses. I mean, I'm glad to see it out of Sala, I guess, like to kind of see that fire because he kind of has a little more. He's not like a docile guy, but like, you know, he's a players love him, rah, rah kind of coach, you know, so it's nice to see that flip side of him. I will say this episode, episode two, is a little bit more like honest and revealing than mm-hmm. episode one, where episode one was like the most
Aaron Rodgers,
the most green rose colored glasses or whatever, you know, that they glossed over a lot of stuff. It really felt kind of like this is Jets propaganda and not like an actual documentary. Was he sending a message? I mean, the Jets get to like know what's going into this, right? It's not like they like sprung this on.
Also, like, if you want to rip your team a new one, you can do it away from Hard Knocks cameras. They're not in every single, they're not in the bathroom. They could have assembled the entire offensive line in a stall somewhere.
They should go real world
Here's the real message.
World style while they have all the important meetings in the bathroom.
So I'm as worried as Sala is. There was a Zach Rosenblatt, I was just reading his piece about how to fix the offensive line. There was a cope, or I don't know what you want to call it, about signing Zach Martin, trading for Zach Martin. What do you think this is? I didn't even know this was a thing in Jets Twitter. What do you guys think this is? Because, you know, it was interesting. Rosenblatt's point was basically that if there's an upgrade over Max Mitchell or Billy Turner, they're just not available. And if the upgrade is Zach Martin, they're really not available. Because guess what Zach Martin was looking for? Bunch of money.
$8 million more.
He got it. And it got adjusted and everything's good. They're not going to put him on the trading block. The only time that's really happened with a super duper star tackle was when the Commanders mismanaged the best tackle in the game because they're the Commanders. And that team doesn't even exist anymore. Like that the Snyder era is over. So there's no team to mismanage the situation that significantly. Offensive linemen don't grow on trees. Okay. That's the important thing. And so whether that's Zach Martin or, I mean, listen, that's a guard. But you know, you're talking about any single position, is not going to be upgraded at this time of year. And so everything kind of flows through that. It's a huge problem because there's a couple of issues here. The first issue, and it's the biggest one, is there's an aging quarterback who needs time to throw the ball. He can create space, certainly, but the more years that go by, the less space he can create, the more he can, the less he can cause problems with his legs, and he's going to take a bunch of hits. And we don't know. We've been so spoiled by a generation of quarterbacks who all age gracefully into their age 43 seasons that all it takes is one hit. And Rodgers takes hits that Brady and Drew Brees did not, frankly. And if there's a sieve on the offensive line at any of the five positions, that's only going to make things significantly worse immediately. Because if they have time to move the ball down the field, they're going to do it. And it doesn't take much for this team to win 10 or 11 games. But this is the way I remember this. Joe Banner once said this. I think about it all the time. He said, the sign of an overrated team in the offseason is a team with great skill players and questions at offensive line. Because it immediately unravels. Immediately. And what you have to do to overcome a bad offensive line is so significant. And talking about quarterbacks accruing hits, talking about just doing quick game stuff. I saw a couple things today that really worried me. Connor Hughes tweeted out that basically Aaron Rodgers was doing almost nothing beyond 10 yards. It was all checkdowns and quick passes. Like, are they going to change the way that they play because they've got a leaky five in front of them?
So here's like a conspiracy theory kind of question about relating back to Hard Knocks and Saleh's speech. And are they kind of like laying the groundwork for if things don't go as well as expected, that we have a place to blame? Let's try to rein in expectations. Let's get people talking about things other than Super Bowl kind of expectations.
Is Robert Saleh pulling a Sean Payton?
Well, like, I mean, I don't. This is like, he knew it was going to be on Hard Knocks, right? It's not like, you know, he was putting it out there. It was a message to his team, but then it was a message to his team that he, if not didn't explicitly want out on cable television, he at least approved it being out there for everybody to see. So I don't know if that's more a message internally that like he's putting all of those guys on notice. Or if he's kind of just putting all of us on notice too, that like things aren't as great as maybe a lot of people are believing after week one of Hard Knocks.
Or he's just trying to tell them to get better.
Yeah.
To stop.
I mean, that's probably what it is. Stop sucking. But also like get better players. I don't know. Don't let the Steelers jump you in the draft. I don't know.
Next story. Anthony Richardson named week one starter. Not much of a surprise.
Shocking information.
Well, so there were rumors of this, not rumors, but reports of this in the OTAs. They were giving him basically all he could handle throughout OTAs and mandatory mini camps and any offseason program because they wanted him to start. They wanted him to get up really quickly. I was shocked to see ESPN had this stat the other day that the most consecutive seasons with a new quarterback starting. The all-time record is the Bears had 9 straight seasons where a new quarterback started. Not a different one, just a new one. And then Indy's streak is, I believe, 8. It is 8. Having said that, Andrew Luck kind of counts twice. So it's 7 if you don't count. Because
he had like an injury, there was like an injury.
Yeah, so it wasn't. Yeah. We're talking about not having back to back starters the same way. Do you know who started for them week one in 2017?
2017.
I did not know this, and I am an aficionado.
I'll be embarrassed to have forgotten it, but no, I don't.
I'm an aficionado of shitty football, and I did not remember this. The answer is Scott Tolzien.
Huh? Yeah, would not have gotten.
He's on a staff somewhere. Is he on in Dallas? He's on a staff somewhere. We'll look into it. Philip Rivers, Carson, Jacoby Brissett, Philip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan journey is a tough one. This makes sense to me. His floor is very high because he's one of the best athletes who's ever tested at the combine to play quarterback. And then by extension, one of the best athletes who's ever played the position. Great. Love that. We know what he can do in creating space for himself, in making plays with his leg. He's just going to do good things there. And the only other way he can build with the other stuff, he did not throw a lot in college. He's inexperienced. He made some really bad interceptions last year that I thought were just baffling. The only way to accelerate that process is to play a whole bunch of NFL football. And if he's not ready, fine. Take your lumps. What the hell are the Colts going to do anyway? New coach. Like, just, it makes all the sense in the world. I would have lost my mind if they went with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah. Nothing makes me more angry this time of year than fake and or bad quarterback competitions. these coaches that feel like they have to do one.
No, there's one thing worse, which is that when the fake competition is won by like the 29-year-old. That's fair. Flipped. Yeah.
It was Tom Savage who started over Deshaun Watson back when Deshaun Watson was just a good football player.
Sure.
Like, and then they benched him at halftime of the first game when you could have been giving your first round pick rookie all of the snaps in the preseason. It's the stupid, speaking of Gardner Minshew, Trevor Lawrence, Gardner Minshew battle of a couple years ago of the Urban Meyer Jags. Like, what are we doing? Stop it. You invested everything in this guy.
What's the worst quarterback battle you've been around?
Oh, I mean, I live in Denver. I mean, there's been some...
No, I know. Like, what? Where were you at practice where it was like, oh, we're going to give Brock Osweiler second team reps?
Look, the Tebow, Brady, Quinn, Kyle Orton ones were pretty bleak because everybody wanted Tim Tebow to be the guy, but it was so obvious that he was like QB3 by like a pretty considerable margin. So the dynamics of that one were really weird. Probably the worst one was Paxton Lynch versus Trevor Siemian. Like, and then Chad, and then he threw a little Chad Kelly in there, is a little swag Kelly, I think is what he called himself. That was dark. That was a bad time. I mean, it was like sports radio was like Team Paxton and Team Trevor. Like, it was the fucking Twilight movies. It was a bad time.
So I'm going to do you one better. I actually know downriver of what you're describing, the Kyle Orton 2011 year, there's something worse, which is the Miami Dolphins. Ooh. the fans were like openly chanting for Kyle Orton at a training camp practice. And so like they wanted to be in that competition so badly. Wow. They would have killed to be.
Who were they hoping to replace?
I got to look this up. It's probably incredibly grim. Chad Pennington was hurt by then. Quarterbacks. Matt Moore started 12 games.
Matt Moore.
Chad Henne went 0-4. So Matt Moore went 6-6. Chad Henne went 0-4. JP Lossman played in two games.
Yeah.
Completed 6 of his 10 passes for 60 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions for JP Lossman. So the Dolphins.
Matt Moore and Chad Henne, who both have Super Bowl rings, is that correct? Didn't Matt Moore win one with the Chiefs? Or was he on that Chiefs team that lost to the Super Bowl?
Yes, he was on that Chiefs team. He was out of the league for a year. Played for the Dolphins.
He came in because Chad Henne got hurt.
That's right. That's right. So
wow, really, what a rebound Dolphins, for those guys.
All
what a
the Dolphins needed was Patrick Mahomes at the top of the sure. at the top of the quarterback depth chart, and everything would have been fine. I'm just glad this makes sense. And honestly, I know Jim Irsay is doing this flying orcas around the country and tweeting weird shit or whatever, but like this just makes sense. And you're always a little bit on guard that when you have a weird ownership situation or weird management situation, they'll make some crazy decision. This was not that. Happy to see it. Colts rolling with Anthony Richardson. That whole team. The draft class has amazing athletes that have a ton of potential. I don't know if this draft class is actually perfect for them because I think they're going to lose a lot this year because they have a bunch of guys who are, frankly, I'm talking about in later rounds, who are high ceiling, great athletes who are raw. Might take a year, might take a year and a half for those guys to come into their own. Might be two rough seasons. But the reason you bet on athleticism is because more often than not, it works. And I'm betting with Shane Steichen, with Chris Ballard augmenting the roster, with some of the guys they already have there, this is going to work in Indy. Anything else on the Indianapolis Colts or Jim Irsay?
I mean, we don't need to start down another Jim Irsay rabbit hole. We're good.
Michael Orr. Long pause. Story. Long pause.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Michael Orr, retired NFL star, Ole Miss star, Baltimore Ravens first-round pick, longtime NFL player, also played for the Panthers and the Titans, has accused the family, connected to him forever by the movie and book The Blind Side, of tricking him into a conservatorship and taking the proceeds from a blockbuster film about his life, of which he basically received nothing. Very sad story. I read this book when it came out. I saw the movie. I know the story well. Couple of quick things. Number one, what a day for college football message boards, which have been talking about this for 15 years, not being the story that it looked like, especially in SEC country. I think there were a couple people in the media who were close to Memphis yesterday who are basically just like, yep. I'm surprised it took this long to get out there. This is a horrible story, a sad story. I think that as Twitter is wont to do, it has become a completely toxic and insane discourse. Somehow it has devolved into Sandra Bullock should give back her Oscar. In fact, a lot of places are just showing photos of Sandra Bullock when discussing the story. There are villains in this story. The villains are the people who tricked Michael Orr into a conservatorship.
Not Sandra Bullock.
Not Sandra Bullock, who is an actress. Any more than like Leonardo DiCaprio should get criticized because Catch Me If You Can is largely fabricated by a literal con man. The problem is the con men and women, not Sandra Bullock. Anyway, let's put that aside. I've been around Michael Orr. I think he's a very nice guy. This is horrible. And if the allegations are true, not a lot of worse people in the sports world than the Tui family.
Yeah, and there's already like the next layers of stories are coming out there where the Tui family is now saying that this isn't true. And it's, I think that the word they use is a shakedown and they didn't receive any money from the movie. I'm not inclined to believe them, is I guess nobody has actually denied the conservatorship part, however.
Right. So for me, it's like, did you make him sign this or have him sign this or not? That's the only thing that is the issue here, whether it's a quote unquote shakedown. And maybe he asked for money. Maybe he asked for money because you guys signed him. We already went through this to a conservatorship. We just did it with Britney Spears. Like these things are bad. And so like either he signed one or he didn't. Anything else about the language of the deal or what it is? And I saw people saying today, well, they never said we adopted him. Like again, all besides the point. Did he sign the document? Is there a document or not?
Yeah. But like, so they're now trying to get this technicality. We never said we adopted him. We only signed off. They got approval on the book, right? And they got approval on
I don't know if they got approval on the book.
They did get approval on the movie. And the only reason I know this is because they were on Below Deck. Do you know this?
No.
The Tui family like was on it. They were the guests on an episode of Below Deck on Bravo, which now we're in my wheelhouse, right? Of like the reality shows, not Hard Knocks, the reality shows that I really like. And they talked about how that movie got made. And I believe they said that they got approval on the script of it. But also like Sean Tui is like childhood friends with Michael Lewis, who wrote the book.
They went to Newman together. That's in the book. A lot of the stuff that people were saying, hey, was that in the book? That's in the book.
It's in the book.
It's in the book. You guys should read
probably
the book.
On my shelf back there. Somewhere. Probably that. Yeah, I see it. Yellow up there. Yeah. I have to pull that one down.
The one thing I'll say, I'm not going to defend Michael Lewis. He's need defending. He can, if he wants to go out and give a statement or give an interview, he can. I don't care. The movie and the book are very different. And I'm not saying, again, I actually do think that in large part, the book was extremely narrative driven and helped fortify some of the stuff that's sort of out there that most people think of like a lore. But the movie was like Hallmark feel good family shit. Okay.
Yeah.
And there is some of that in the book, but the book is half the book is about the literal
it's evolution
tackle
of football.
Position.
Yeah. It's
yeah, like... yeah. Like Michael Lewis did not, I don't think, go out of his way to write like Hallmark fluff, which the movie became. Now, there's other parts of the book that are a huge problem now in retrospect and some of the interviews he's given, all that stuff. But like, I just, again, let's just keep the focus on the fact that financially, Michael Orr, I hope, makes out good here. If the Tuies took any of his money, they need to give it back right now. And again, like if they say, if Michael Orr asked for $15 million because he's owed $15 million, good for him. Like, I don't think that changes. And I don't think their side of the story changes much.
Yeah. It's just really sad. And it's just that, you know, cause like it was a family and now it's not a family and it's going to be very, very, very public. It's, we're probably only getting the beginning of all of this.
The beginning. All right, let's quickly run through it. Zeke Elliott signs with the New England Patriots. Our long national nightmare of Zeke Elliott updates are over. I want to say this. We have something, I've said this before, my friends and I call it the Carmelo Anthony zone, where you become more famous to the point that the media follows your path and your whereabouts significantly more than the league does. Cause like Carmelo Anthony was always a free agent, right? And like always available and signing these minimum deals at the end of his career. And every day on like the jump, there'd be like where's Carmelo going to sign? It's like, you know, who doesn't care where Carmelo signs? NBA GMs and coaches, because we're good. But like, it would take up 10 minutes. Right. And so like Julio Jones like that for a little bit in the NFL, a couple other guys are what I call the Carmelo zone. I'd say Zeke Elliott and Dalvin Cook are like captains of that zone right now. Because you're not signing on the second week of training camp if NFL GMs actually care. Now, they did get, so the deal for Zeke Elliott's $3 million base, some incentives. I saw up to $6 million. I'll believe it when I see it. Dalvin Cook was for, I believe, a little bit more money. These guys were holding out for bigger deals. They got what amounts to just fine starter money. In some cases, not starter money. Just the deals you'd think a team would sign a veteran running back to, where there weren't a ton of expectations. Now, Mike Reese said basically they want Zeke Elliott. If he plays 30% of snaps, that's great. Ramondre Stevenson last year played 66% of snaps via ESPN. That's the highest share by a Patriots running back since LeGarrette Blount in 2016. So they need a guy who can just be a second option. Dalvin Cook, obviously Breece Hall is the guy there. Dalvin Cook can take a little pressure off of that. He doesn't have to rush back. What I look at this as is two teams with smart decision makers who are taking the pressure off the plan they already have, but I don't think either signing significantly changes the outlook for anybody.
Yeah. I the same way. I mean, like, It's way more of like a fantasy football storyline at this point too. Like, where do they
but
fit your boards?
But even with Zeke, it's like, it's only whether or not Stevenson is still like, I don't even know what ADP Stevenson has. Sorry for you guys. There's another show on
read the fantasy field of the Ringer fantasy football
say,
guide.
I was going to say, but like, it's only through that context that anybody's even talking about it. Like Zeke Elliott's, I don't think, a viable fantasy guy.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, and look, this is my only fantasy analysis. Never trust Patriots running backs if you're going to play fantasy football, because Bill Belichick will screw you every single week. Like, there's nothing less trustworthy in the NFL and fantasy football than Patriots running backs. So I would not trust any of that. I mean, I think Cook is probably like a better player at this point, and that's probably why he got a little bit more money in terms of, you know, age and stuff. There's some questions. I mean, I still think like there's some questionable off-field stuff that's still going on with Dalvin Cook mm-hmm. with his ex-girlfriend. There was some news reported about that a couple weeks ago about him trying to potentially pay her off to not talk to the NFL in their investigation into some domestic violence allegations. So there's like still some like messy, ugly stuff going on behind the scenes with Dalvin Cook. Not that you would get that if you read Adam Schefter's Twitter feed about how he's about to become a new father and everything is great. But like, he's a guy, he's a veteran. Aaron Rodgers will largely be able to trust him in pass protection. I think he can catch on the backfield. I'm pumped for Breece Hall. I would love to see more Breece Hall, but yeah, he is coming back off of an ACL. So it'll help ease him in a little bit, but I'm just glad we don't have to talk about these guys in the context of all of their visits and tracking their visits and who dined with who and what restaurants and what they ate, because it's not that great.
I'm going to pass a rule here. If someone has a visit and then they do the visit went well thing and no contract is offered, I think there should be a week moratorium on any more visit updates. Because I saw somebody the other day, God, who was it? Where it's like so-and-so's visit went well, and the next day they're visiting somebody else. And
it was
like,
about Dalvin, right?
It didn't go that good. I know somebody else. It was like, well, it didn't go that good because an NFL team was like, cool, man. And like, also, if you're even taking visits, there's a lot of questions on both sides. And like, it means, you know, who doesn't take visits? Guys who sign on the first minute of free agency because somebody offered them $90 million guaranteed. Yeah.
The best part about those visits tweets, specifically around Dalvin Cook, and I think his visit to the Jets, or was it his Colts visit? I can't remember, but he was visiting the Colts, right? I'm getting them all confused now. Was that clearly there was a text was sent to a number of NFL national reporters at the same time, all of who tweeted the exact same information, but put the quotes around different words. It was fantastic. It was like one went, quote, good. Another went like, has not signed, in quotation mark. Like it was wild. It was a really fun examination of
to be
NFL
clear, anytime
culture.
Like I see one of my friends, one of the fellows, I text everybody I know saying that was a good visit, and then they disseminate it and however they want to.
Put the quote around visit.
Yeah. 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 All right. Lindsey Jones, anything else?
That's it. That's all I got. We're getting closer to real football.
We're getting there, pal. Thank you to Richie Bozick Production. No, we will be back next week. This has been the Slow News Day. I almost said Ringer NFL show. I don't do that anymore. This has been Slow News Day on the Ringer Podcast Network. We'll see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.